So there is somebody local who actually bakes matzahs in their house. So they have the son. One of their sons is in Tuvia's grade in Masifta. So I got an invite to head over there yesterday. So he actually bakes matzahs. Like he has a wood oven in his kitchen, and he's got a whole setup there where he got the special wheat. He got wheat from the Lakewood matzah factory, and he's got a whole setup. So I asked him a couple of things about, like, do you know about how much do you put in? And make sure you put in less than the sheer challah. So he said, yeah, of course, no, less than of course. And they collected later in their box, and he has a box that collects it all later. And then from that's where they take the Parshas Challah later. So he said he was trained from Rabbi Arya Leibowitz's brother. I forgot his first name, but he's a rav in Northern California, I think in Palo Alto, was part of the Kol there or something. So he's the one who he gave him instructions on how to do this. And I have matzos that I chabura matzos that he made yesterday with Shua and Tivia at this fellow's house. He told me that he makes matzos erev Pesach. There's a specific inyan of making Pesach, of making your matzos on erev Pesach. And they do it. They actually say Hallel while they do it. There's a whole thing to it. So he said he doesn't invite people, beginners. That he only allows people to come because there the risks are a lot higher because in this case, so you throw everything out. There's chametz that forms. It's not really the matzah isn't really chametz, but any dough that falls off and sticks to stuff, so that becomes chametz. So he has like a fire outside that's burning. He just throws it all right into the fire right away. But he said he doesn't invite beginners for Erev Pesach. But he said, you already got to experience. I think you're good enough. You could come. So I was like, all right, we'll see if we could pull off Erev Pesach Chabur Matzahs this year. But so a bunch of the Hilchos Challah things, which people probably don't think about when thinking about the halachos of making matzah. So some of them were on display over there. The only thing is, they told me he uses 3 pounds of flour per batch, which is a little bit above the minimal shear of challah that we've been using. Right? Usually we take challah from 2.5 to 5 pounds. So I'm not sure where he said he wasn't sure where he got the number from. He thinks he got that from the Lakewood Matzah Bakery. But anyway, so that requires a little bit of, so at least in theory, he does less than the shear challah, but it's unclear what shear you're using in order to establish less than the shear challah for that. So anyways, so that's happening right here, right? Right in our, you don't need to travel to Lakewood to get your own, to do your own matzahs. You could do it right here. Okay, so we were in the midst of this issue of the min hamukaf, that if you have two things of dough, hold on a second here. So in order to take, and they both have the sheer challah, they both have the amount of challah in it, so in order to take challah from one of them off for the other one, you actually need them to be in close proximity to one another. And he pointed out that this is a problem with regards to the tevel dough system that is in place in many of our, in many kashrus organizations. So first thing that we discussed last week was that, well, this whole idea is only a din l'chadchila, meaning the idea that you need to have them together in the same place, that's l'chadchila. B'di'eved, taking shalom min ha-mukaf, that would be permissible. So then we raise the question of, well, okay, but generally we try to do things on a level of l'chadchila. So why is this considered to be okay? Meaning, what exactly is going on? So you're taking challah in a less than ideal way, in order for what? In order so that this food can be kosher for other people to eat, right? That's the that is the starting point. So is that okay or not okay? I mean, why is that okay? So I mentioned last week, I think my quick answer would be like, yeah, but there's a difference between the mitzvah and the permission, meaning the mitzvah is something that you try to do, and etc. But there's also the idea of the food being kosher. So the food being kosher in terms of whether the food is kosher or not, that's not my meaning the food is kosher, that's the kashrus agency's responsibility, right? That's the consumer's responsibility. But that the owner is actually being fulfilling the mitzvah of a fresh chal in the best way, so that's not necessarily our responsibility. That might be considered to be out of the purview of the kashrus organization and the consumer. So, I'm not sure. Truth is, I was in House of Kosher last week, and somebody commented, and the Mashkiach there commented to me that sometimes when people come, they actually take off a little piece of their pizza. They buy pizza, and then they like take off a little bit and put it to the side. He's like, I'm not sure why. I never asked, but maybe this is part of, maybe it has to do with this. Anyway, so that was the question. So that would have been my that's my answer to this. I think that actually is pretty much a solid answer. Meaning, we're only really concerned with the making sure the food is kosher, not necessarily concerned that the owner is fulfilling Hafrash Haschala in the best possible way. But that being said, Rabbi Cohen gives a very interesting answer, which is just interesting kind of in its own right, sort of a part of a much broader sugya. So I figure it is worthwhile going through that as well. So I opened up the wrong Gemara here. The sugya really is found in Maseches Shabbos Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. So we just started discussing this last week, that there is an assumption when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, we have a, and that's found in the Gemara, so which must be source number 2, I think page number 2 on the sources. So, or page number 1 even, not sure. But the Gemara... Page 2? Okay, so the Gemara there in Maseches Shabbos talks about this issue of hidvik pas b'tanur, that if you stick bread to the wall of the tanur. So what happens there? So in theory, you have violated an issur of Shabbos, meaning that is a malacha of Shabbos, to put things in the oven, but you don't actually violate the malacha until enough time has gone by that it's actually baked, meaning if you just put it in and then take it out 3 seconds later, so then you have not violated the issur of Shabbos, right? Just putting it into the oven is not sufficient for you to be in violation of malachas of Shabbos. It needs to be left in there for the amount of time that it takes to bake. Right? So the Gemara here discusses a scenario where a person puts it into the oven and he's waiting for it to bake, and someone else comes along and he realizes that if he takes it out, he could save this person an Isser Skila. I mean, he could save this person from violating Shabbos. So is he permitted to do so? Why would it be a question of whether he's permitted or not? So the Gemara is discussing this issue called Rediyas HaPas, or Hidvik, maybe the Pas was, in those days, the way they made bread, I don't quite really understand this exactly, but somehow they stuck bread to the walls, and they were like, it was sort of like packed in, that's the way that it was baked, so to remove bread from the oven was considered to be a problem on Shabbos. What is that problem? So a little bit unclear. It's machlokas rishonim what exactly that problem is. It's muksa, or it's uvda d'chol, or it's gezeira shema, lest you go and bake more or something. Right? So there's questions, there's ideas across the positions.
Yeah, right, even if it's cold, even if the oven's cold.
I guess so. It sounds, yeah, I guess so.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
Meaning, the point is that it's not bishul related. It's there's some kind of additional prohibition there. I don't think it would apply today. Nowadays, we don't stick our doughs to the walls of the oven. But the Gemara is under the assumption that there was some kind of issur derabanan involved. So the question is, should a person violate an issur derabanan in order to save somebody else from an issur d'oraisa? That's the Gemara. Chet b'shvil shetiska chavero, right? So Shimon, he sees this, so he wants to save Reuven from the Isser of Shabbos. So is it permissible for him to violate an Isser d'Rabbanan in order to save Reuven from an Isser d'Oraisa? Right? That is the that's the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara's first answer seems to be no. Right, hidvik pas b'tanri tir lo l'rosa kosh yevul de chiv chatas o lo itir. So I'm a l'rvacha bar abba l'ravina heichidam. Ile, right, he asked the question of elo lav, di yehadr, v'atana kol chai v'chatas in chai v'nat shetir. Lasa shoha v'sav, el b'mezes. Kodim shi yevul de isser skimmi boy. Ile, so I'm a rav shila li olam b'shogeg, l'mani tiru la achirim. So maskifla Rav Sheshes v'chi omrim lo la'adam chet b'fil shetiska chavercha. So about eight lines before it becomes wide. So do we allow that? Meaning the assumption is that we don't. I mean, we don't tell a person to sin in order to save someone else. So ella amaravashi about again seven lines before it becomes wide. Liyom b'mezid ve'ema kum shiyavul de iser skila. That maybe it's to save from an iser skila. So Rav Achabari the Rav Amasi la behedya amarav bibi amarabar bai hidvik pas betanor he tirulo lir dosa kodem shiyavul de iser skila. That if somebody sticks bread to the walls, so it's permitted for him to take it out before he violates an iser skila. Now, the truth is that last thing might be talking about the guy himself. Meaning, if Reuven sticks it in and then all of a sudden has an epiphany and says, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have done that, right? Or he listens to the warning of the that the two edim are there giving him, you know, don't do that. You're gonna be chayav skila. Ah, I'm gonna do it anyways. And he sticks it in and he says, you know what, you guys kind of look serious about this. Maybe I don't want to violate the Nisr Skila. So now he wants to take it out. Would the Edom there say and say, sorry, too late, you can't take it out, you already put it in, and it's a Nisr Durban to take it out, so sorry, you're going to be Chayav Skila, there's nothing you can do about it right now. Right? But I can violate the Nisr Durban and take it out. But he's like, nope, sorry, not allowed. So the answer is that under that scenario, it seems like we would allow him to take it out. So a little bit of a machlokas, but we would allow him, seems like we would allow him to take it out. So that's, but somebody else would not. Right, so if Reuven puts it in, Shimon comes along and says, you know, I'm going to be a nice guy and save him from an Isser Skila, we would tell him, no, you have an Isser Durabanan, you're not allowed to take it out. You just, you know, sit on your hands and wait, and once the item gets cooked, so then Reuven's going to be Chayav Skila, and you're not supposed to go ahead and change it. Okay, that's the simple explanation of the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that we don't go ahead and do this. We don't tell a person to sin in order to violate the in order to save somebody else from an isser, right? So just in order to keep the player straight. So the application to our scenario would we tell somebody to separate challah or not take challah in the optimal way in order to save somebody from an isser of challah? Right? Would we do that? So it sounds like from this Gemara, no, right? You shouldn't do something in a bad way, even though it might save somebody else from a greater iser. Okay, that's the first glance application. So Tosfos here on the side of the page, right? V'chi omrim lo la'adam chepifil shetiska chavercha. So there it raises a question. There's a couple of Gemaras that seem to go against it, but the starting point is a Gemara Maseches Eruvin, where it actually seems to mirror our case pretty closely. So the Gemara there in Eruvin says, Rebbe Sover nichale lechaver d'liyavid isura kalila v'lo liyavid ama'aretz isura rabba. That the Gemara there says that a chaver will do a light iser in order to save an ama'aretz from a greater iser. What's going on there? So the Gemara seems to, the case is that a is that somebody who's a ama'aretz? Ama'aretz is in Gemara's like ama'aretz nowadays is a derogatory term, but in the Gemara land there was a chaver who was like a tzaddik who was like keeping all the chumras and was a talmud chacham, and an ama'aretz was a regular dude, right? That's what it sounds like. I don't think it doesn't seem like it's really a derogatory term in the Gemara. So the Talmud Chacham has the field, and the Amaris comes and says, you know, I want to buy. He goes, orange picking in the guy's field, and he buys a sack, right? I don't know, in Florida we went to orange picking, and that's the way it worked. They gave you a sack, and you could fill up the sack. So he gave him a sack. So go ahead, fill up the sack. Then he says, I gewalt. And then so he pays for it, he leaves, he has his sack of oranges, and then the tzaddik says, hey, wait a second, I didn't take off trumos and meisers for that. So, and we are concerned that the Amma Aretz is not going to, especially considering that he's buying it from Talmud Chacham, and he's buying it from a Hasidish guy, right? He thinks it's not under a Hechsher, like right? How could that be? So he says, oh, you know what, I'm going to hereby be mafrish this for that. So he takes off an orange, says, this is my trumas and meisos, and that is now going to be okay, right, what that guy took. So what essentially is he doing? He is being mafrish shelo min hamukaf, right? It's the same thing as the challah thing, right? It seems like it should be the same thing as the challah thing, right? I am hereby taking this off in order so that he doesn't violate the iser, right? And the Gemara seems to assume that that's a good idea, that we should go ahead. What?
It seems to me that it's a b'di'evet halacha. The story you just told me is a b'di'evet.
Well, not necessarily. Yes, might be b'di'eved, but under the circumstances, there's not another way of doing it. Meaning, the guy comes, the stuff is still attached to the ground, right? So now he's... there's not really an opportunity for the chaver to have taken off trumas and maestros beforehand, right? So it's b'di'eved, but without much of a choice, right? So the Gemara assumes that you can do that. Now, what right, you might say, well, under the circumstances, he does it, etc. But the Gemara says to do it. I mean, he could say, don't do it. I mean, don't take off trumas and maestros. This other guy is going to sin. It's not your problem. It's his problem, right? So why does the Gemara? So that's the stira that Tosfos sets up. The Gemara in Shabbos seems to say that we tell a person sit on your hands, don't take the bread out, even though it's going to save a guy from an isser on Shabbos, as opposed to the farming case where we tell the guy take off trumas and maestros, but it's going to save the buyer from a violation of eating tevel. Right, that's the parallel that's being set up. So why is it that we're okay with the guy taking off trumas and maestros in an unideal way, but we're not okay with the guy taking off the bread out, even though it's going to save somebody from an isser of from a korban chatas, I guess you'd say.
There's no isser drabanan to take trumas and maestros.
So Tosfos seems to meaning. Tosfos doesn't answer that. I was thinking that also. I'd say, well, wait a second. Is it really an Isser Durabanan to do that? So, I mean, the truth is, in that case, you would say it is, because there is a gezera not to take off Trumas u'Maaser Shalomi Namukaf. This came up in Daf Yomi. I know it came up recently. Yes, in the beginning of Hamafkid. Right in the beginning of the third parak above Metziah, right there it says that you're not supposed to take off trumas and maestros for something else because the person, you're not supposed to take it off remotely because the person might not know, or they might use it themselves to take off trumas and maestros or something else. Yorick has concerns about doing that. So therefore, what does it sound like? It sounds like there's a gezeira, I mean, telling you not to do it. So you could make a case that maybe there is a lav involved. I mean, there is reason. There is a concern there, which we might come along and say that you should make that gezeira. Okay. So how do you line this up here? So that's the lineup here. I mean, machlok is Gemara and Shabbos, Gemara and Irvin. So that's Tosfos' question. So Tosfos responds by saying he gives three answers to this question. So answer number one is Hasam kedei shelo yechel ama aretz tevel al yedei. The Amar le Mali lecha kilkala shel teinim mit teinasi. Right, he says over there he's trying to avoid the Amaretz eating tevel because of him. Right, he told the Amaretz you can go fill up a basket with my teinos. But here shelo nase iser al yado ein omrim lo chait. But here he didn't tell him to do the iser. Right, there he said here take the basket and take it home. Right, and he didn't tell him to take off trumas u'maaser. He's actually giving him the ability to be able to violate the iser. So therefore, it's your fault, right? We put the responsibility on the chacham's head. So therefore, the chacham has the ability to do a b'di'eved hafrasha. But in the case of Shabbos, I didn't tell the guy to put a challah into the oven, right? That's crazy, right? What in the world is he doing that for, right? So it's his problem. So therefore, I'm not going to sin in order to save him from his problem, right? As opposed to in Gemara Avin, where it is in essence my problem. Now, based off of this, Rabbi Cohen points out in his sefer, he says, so you can make this right away. You can make the following analogy and say, well. The kashrus agency is what is saying. Go ahead and eat this. Once the kashrus agency is saying go ahead and eat this, so then the guy is going to go ahead and eat it and going to eat tevel. So therefore, you're like the chacham farmer then, right? So now it's my responsibility to take off the challah so that the guy who I told him go ahead and eat it isn't in violation of the din. So Rabbi Cohen says that's like you can make that case. So he says, but that's not the way kashrus organizations work. Kashrus organizations could also be prepared to say, or we're just not going to give it a hechsher at all, right? We're not chayiv to give a hechsher to such a company. So just don't give a hechsher, and you won't have that problem in the first place. Okay. But anyways, that's answer number one. Answer number one is says, well, the case in Shabbos is it's the guy's fault. It's the guy who put it into the oven's fault, as opposed to in Erevin, where it is the Chacham's fault if the guy violates the prohibition, and that might be room for leniency. Beis, the second thing is Vomer Riva, right? Second answer. That fuel madvik atzmo, even if the guy stuck it on himself. Ein lifshut mishami, he's not allowed to take it down. Right, that's what we mentioned before. That it might even be a problem for him himself to take it down. Lahatir, why? The hasam adayin lo nase ha'iser, umutov sheyase ha'iser kal velo yase iser chamor al yado. He says, because over there, meaning in Maseches Erevin, right, this is a Tosfos and Shabbos, over there in Maseches Erevin, right, the guy hasn't violated an iser yet. Right, the iser hasn't yet come into play. It's not about whose fault it is. Rather, it's there's no iser that's been violated yet. The iser is going to come when the guy eats it. Right, so because there's no iser that is done yet, so therefore we should do whatever we can in order to save it. As opposed to in Shabbos, the iser has happened already. Right, what is the iser of baking on Shabbos? So the iser is putting the thing into the oven. Now, you could turn around and say, "Yo, but hold on a second. He doesn't actually. He's not in violation of the iser until baking happens, right? Right? Could be the maisa iser is putting it in, but the totsah, right? The prohibition only happens once it's actually baked. So that would be the weakness in the Riva's answer. The Riva would answer that and say, "No, but the maisa iser is when you put it into the oven, right? There's no further action that's going to come about that's going to impose a greater chiyuv, right? You've done it already. So once you've done it already, so we're not going to sin in order to save you. But if the sin hasn't happened yet, meaning the guy hasn't eaten the tevel yet, so therefore we would do whatever we can. We would violate the Nisr Durabanan in order to save him from that violation." Okay, so avahalcham aiser shel iser kvar nase umemelo yigmor lo yasa filu iser kal biyadayim. Right here, it's already happened, so therefore you shouldn't do anything, even if it's going to be an iser kal if it's going to be active. Okay, so that's answer number two. Okay, and then the Gemara Tosfos actually asks. He says, "Aye, but wait a second. We have a Gemara in Maseches Gittin where it says Mishechetziv Eva vechetziv ben chorin kofenes rabo vaoso oso ben chorin." So we force the master to release the person. Why? I mean, a person is half Evan and half ben chorin. So there's a prohibition in releasing an Evid that's otherwise supposed to be working for you, right? Le'olam behem tavodu, they're supposed to be continuously working for you. So you're not supposed to release a slave. But the Gemara says that if the person is half slave, half free, you should release him. Why? Because that's going to allow, Tosfos doesn't say it explicitly, because otherwise he's not going to be able to get married. And this way he's enabled to do puravu. He's enabled to fulfill the mitzvah of puravu. So the Gemara says, "V'afagav the high pirka," and even though in the parak of Zamar of Yehuda called Mishachar Avdo over Ba'aseh, right, you violate an Isser Asi by releasing an Eved Yolam, and Tavod, the voice that's supposed to work for you ever, Shiny Piriya Virvia, the mitzvah Rabbi, because that's a very, very important mitzvah. Kimishani Hasim Rabbi Lezer, Shnichnas Le Beisa Merchatz, Velo, sorry, Shnichnas Le Beisa Merchatz? Beis Hamedrash. There you go. Beis Hamedrash. Velo matza sham yud. They didn't have a minion. V'shichar savdo. So he released the slave in order to make a minion. Right. So why was that okay? Right. He seems to be in violation of the iser. So they say, well, mitzvah derabim shiny, because it's a mitzvah that affected the majority, and therefore he was allowed to, in terms of the hierarchy, he was allowed to violate the it's not really a prohibition, but the iser asay of the enslaving them forever, in order to allow to have a minion. In order to enable to have a minion that day. Okay, so that is, so answer number two is that it depends if the Isser has happened already. So that being the case, now you plug in our case as well, right? So the Isser hasn't happened yet. So therefore, it sounds like according to this answer, the Riva, it would go back to being mutter, meaning to do this in order to avoid an Isser later on. And then it says, "Vogi shlomer." The third answer, the dafke hecha the pasha ka'amar, the pasha ka'amar, v'chi omer lo adam chet kedei, etc. He says that the third answer is depends if the guy is a poshea or not. What does it mean he's a poshea? Meaning he's a sinner, right? So in the case in Shabbos, the guy sticks in the oven and now we're wondering about pulling it out in order to save the guys from a chatas or from a skila, right? So the guy is a poshea, meaning we're saving the life of a sinner. Right? So why should I violate an Issa D'Rabbanan in order to save the life of a sinner? Right? That's this third answer of Tosos. The Gemara in Erevin, though, is about a guy. He's a, you know, he's an Amaretz, whatever. He's trying to do the best he can. So he goes and buys some fruit. He doesn't know. He assumes Trumas and Maisos have been taken. Apparently they haven't. So you do what you can in order to save him, including violating potentially Nisa Derabanan, in order to save that person. Right? So this is where things become a little bit complicated. I mean, you're allowed to violate an Isser in order to save a sinner. In order to save somebody who is not a sinner. So how exactly do you plug that in today? I mean, and this is actually also a very interesting, like, broad question for kashrus, like a shkafic issue for kashrus agencies. Why are we giving hechsherim to foods? Right? Who are you working for? When you give hechsherim to foods, right? So I would say there's, I can think of sort of three possibilities about who you're working for, right? One option might be you're working for the company. I mean, the company wants to bring a product to market, they want to sell it, so they hire you to be able to access a market, right? That's one possibility. Next possibility is you're working for your community. Right, so your community could be the community of Philadelphia, right? If we're the Keystone K, it could be the community of Baltimore if you're the Star K. It could be the community of Chicago if you're the CRC, or it could be the community of Queens if you're the Vod of Queens. Right, you're working to make sure that the people of your community have kosher food to eat or restaurants to eat out at and things like that. Right, and the third possibility is that you're working for Klal Yisrael. Right, I'm working because I want to help the Jewish people. Now, what does it mean to help the Jewish people? So one way of helping the Jewish people is to make sure there's kosher restaurants that people are able to go eat at. Right, that's one way of helping the kosher people. Right, the Center City Pretzels opened last Monday. Right, and I think I went Wednesday or Thursday to go and, you know, take a look, whatever, and, you know, we gave them their certificate back and things like that. And, like, I don't know, it's amazing. People were, like, thrilled with this. In fact, yesterday at Shua's game, Shua had a baseball game, and a woman came over to me who I don't think I'd met before. She said, Rabbi Gross, I just want to thank you. I'm sure in your job you get a lot of complaints, and I just want to thank you because, you know, I live in Center City, and they, we sort of feel like we're an afterthought. So, like, having like a pretzel place down there is, like, really good for us. And, like, thank you for making sure that happened, right? So, like, okay, yeah, thanks. So, anyways, so that's sort of the third possibility, that you're working for Klal Yisrael. Now, what does that mean? So, who Klal Yisrael, right? So, are you working for Orthodox Klal Yisrael? Or are you working for Orlof? Or, like, are you working for Hashem? Right? As Rabbi Levine, Allah Shalom, told me when I met him the first time, he says, "Who's your boss?" I said, "I don't know. I guess, like, I work for the president of the shul and the board of the shul." He says, "No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's your boss. The Ebesher is your boss." Right? So it's here. So therefore, is it in the interest of the Jewish people to give a heksher to foods? So Rabbi Cohen suggests, and truth is this is like a sort of a shkafic shift, is that, well, let's say you don't give the heksher, right? So what's going to happen? Are Jews going to eat that food? So, yes. Right? The answer is that in the reality in America today is that Jews are going to go ahead and eat that food, even if there is no heksher that is imposed upon it. So what are you doing here? You're saving those people. Now, one could turn around and say, well, hold on a second, because I thought we don't sin to help a poshea, right? A poshea is a sinner. So is that person a sinner or not? So now you get back into the question of, okay, well, what do you consider people that aren't, like, if somebody's going to eat food, regardless of whether there's a heksher on it or not, right? Is that person a poshea, or is that person a tinok shenishma?
On purpose. I mean, these people don't know.
Right, So that's the question, right? That's the question that is out there. Are these people posheas, or are they tinok shenishmas, right? That's sort of the chakirs. He wants to claim that they're tinok shenishma, and that's why he thinks that it should be okay. So he sort of lines up according to all these answers of Tosos. He thought it should be okay. I'll just add in one more, just because it is a Pesach inyan. He says, he continues on and says, there's another example of a chit b'shvil shetiska chavero. He says, v'asi shaper hadamrin bereish tamid nishchat. In the beginning of Perek Tamid Nishchat, but it must be the fifth or sixth parak in Maseches Pesachim. So he says the asi asi de Pesach sheyesh bo kares v'dochei asi de hashlama, right? And it is docha the asi of hashlama. V'ka'avri kohanim ba'asi de hashlama u'makriven l'mechusar kaparim kaparaso. In order so that they eat the Korban Pesach. Kadesh Yavi Pischa. What in the world is that talking about? So the issue is that generally speaking, in the Beis HaMikdash, you had a Korban Shachar in the morning, right? The Tamid Shel Shachar in the morning, Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim in the afternoon, and all the other Korbanos were brought in the middle. Once the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim is brought, so that is the end of the workday in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, even though it could be brought earlier in the day, it's brought later in the day in order to allow people the opportunity to be able to bring korbanos throughout the day. Right? So far, so good? Right? There is one exception to that rule, at least one primary exception l'chachila to that rule, and that is the Korban Pesach. Right? The Korban Pesach was brought after the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, right? So is the only Korban of the year that was at least L'chadchila brought following after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. So therefore, Erev Pesach, the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, right? The Korban, I don't want to say Korban Mincha, because that becomes confusing, because there's other Korban Minchas, but the Korban that is represented by Mincha, right? So that was brought earlier in the afternoon in order to afford people the ability to be able to bring the Korban Pesach after the Korban Mincha. Good so far? Okay. There are two statuses of people that are quasi-Tamei when it comes to the Korban Pesach, right? When a person is Tamei and then they become Tahor, so and they've done whatever they need to do in order to become Tahor. So what are those things? So often it means going to the mikvah. Sometimes it means the Para Aduma, right? Sometimes it also means bringing Korbanos, right? So under some circumstances, you're Tamei until you bring the Korban. So if you have not, so once you've gone to the mikvah, for the rest of the day, you're considered a tevul yom, right? So you wait till nightfall, and then you're tahor, right? That's the first mishnah in Brachos, that right, the time of davening mariv is after the kohanim could go and eat their truma, right? That's what it's referring to, right? They're a tevul yom during the day. Once it becomes dark enough, so then they are tahor. The other possibility is a person who hasn't yet brought their korban, so they are considered a mechusar kapara. They are missing their kapara. They are lacking their kapara. So they've become tahor, but they haven't yet brought their korban. So they are quasi tahor. So the halacha is that a mechusar kapara is not able to eat the korban pesach. Okay. So what about the following scenario? A guy shows up at 3:30 in the afternoon on erev pesach and says, "Hey, my mitzora period is over, and I need to bring the korban, and I need to be tahor in order to be able to eat the korban pesach tonight." So the kohen says, "Listen, man, I guess you didn't get the email, right? But are you on the Beis HaMikdash email list? Because you should know, the Beis HaMikdash WhatsApp group. Because you should know that every day, right? If you would have come yesterday at 3:30 in the afternoon, it would have been fine. You would have brought your korban, no problem." The guy's like, "Yeah, but yesterday I was still tummy." He's like, I understand. But today, right, you should have seen that the schedule was brought up earlier, and the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim was brought already. So, like, sorry, man, I don't know what to tell you, right? Because we can't bring Korbanos after that. That's the rule every day of the year. So which the guy says, "Can I talk to a manager?" Right? Because apparently there is a heter, right? And that's what this is talking about. There is a heter that while normally we don't bring any korbanos after the korban tamid shel bein arbayim because it's considered to be a iser, or I'm not sure iser or an as, it's an asse of hashlama. I mean, the korban tamid shel bein arbayim should end the day, so that's a mitzvah's asse. So comes Tosus and says that if it means that the guy is going to not be able to eat the Korban Pesach that night, which is like a big time mitzvah, will allow you to violate the Isser of Hashlama in order to enable a person to eat the Korban Pesach that night. Okay, so that is a added bonus, a Korban Pesach addition to the shiur tonight. Okay, and then Tosus has one other example, but fine. So how do we paskin with regards to these issues here? So So do we have any other, any specific chitishil shetiska chavero sugyas, where you would actually distinguish between these cases? So Rabbi Cohen suggests, he says, well, take a look at the Beis Yosef at the end of Simin Shin Vav. What's going on there? So Simin Shin Vav in Hilchos Shabbos discusses the Beis Yosef quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba. So if you have, right, so I think it's page, what, four, I think? Three. I think it's page three. So Tshuvas HaRashba here, right, says, Nishal HaRashba, Al Echad She Shalcho Lo B'Shabbos She Otziu Bito B'Chazaka Mibeso. The case of the kidnapped girl. So a guy comes on Shabbos, right, and they kidnap a girl. They kidnap the daughter from the house, Aidei Yisrael Meshumad, right, and she's taken by a apostate, right? So why would an apostate be taking a Jewish girl? Because they want to convert her, right? That's what's going on there. So lotzia michal Yisrael, right? Meshumah lotzia michal Yisrael. So im yasim laderech pamav b'shabbes penyach chiduhu v'tishtamed, right? Are you allowed to go on the road? Are you allowed to call out the search parties in order to find her on Shabbos? Right, and even that's the question. Are you allowed to violate Shabbos in order to go ahead and save her? Now, right, her life isn't in danger, right? Let's keep that in mind, right? Her life's not in danger, right? The issue is her spiritual life is in danger. So in essence, we're asking, chet bishvil shetiska chavercha, right? Are you allowed to violate Isurim of Shabbos in order to save this girl from violating Shabbos, right? That's the question here. So, right, imutter leich afil tochel gimel parsos lamanda amar tochum gimel parsos deraisa. Right, it sounds like he's even permitted to allow things in issu deraisa. Afil lahavi chosam mitzad hamalchus. Even if you need to get a signature from the king, I mean, even if you need to, you know, get some kind of government authorization, right? Midachin misafik zu es Shabbos kedachin besafik nefashos, right? Like we would violate for safik nefashos, right? Just like a person's life is in danger, we would do these things, right? So too would we do it for this purpose. So Veheshiv, so he answers, Hadavar tzarech Talmud. So the Rashba says, you're right, it's a good question. Umikol makom, and here's the underlying part, Mikol makom kach daiti. This is what I think, right? Note she'ein dachin Shabbos al hatzala me'averos, Lefisha Amru ein omul adam amud vachota b'shvil sheyiska chavercha. Right? That, well, you know, we generally won't violate Shabbos in order to save someone from averos. Dafilu iser zuta lo sharinan lei kedei lahatzil chaver meisur rabba. And even a slight iser, right, a low-level iser, we're not going to permit in order to save from an iser rabba. Da'ad kan lo arminan b'perakol ma'arvin, pozakamar an irvin about the truma shalomina mukaf, right? Nichalei lechaver de levi yisura zutake chidoli avid ama aris yisura rabba el kisha oso iser bal ama aretz aide chaver, because there the iser is being caused by the chaver. Val beinyan acher lo kidemucha parakama de Shabbos, right? Uboy de hidvik pas betanor veotzarech talmud ashi yamura davar albarav, but it still requires clarity on this, right? So that is the Rashba. The Rashba seems to say no. Right? No. He says in Lumdus, it doesn't work out. Right? Whatever is happening is her issue. Right? It's not your issue. You're not causing it. What? Right? The Rashi is going like the first answer in Tosos, where the only time it's permissible is if the violation would be your fault. But here the violation is not going to be your fault. It's going to be her problem, or it's going to be her captor's problem, right? So therefore, he says, usher. He says, however, Vatosus, the Beis Yosef continues on and says, Vatosus, in the beginning of Shabbos, right, B'tchila k'divrei HaRashba. He writes at first like the Rashba, but then he asks some other questions, right? Mishchetzi evachetzi ben choron kofenes rabba v'sedra v'osos ben choron v'kaim alen d'chom eshachres abdo over ba'asei v'tersu d'shaini piri v'rivi d'mitzu rabbihi. Right? He says, well, first of all, we have some exceptions to that rule, right? Purvu we would permit under these circumstances because that's a big time mitzvah. V'ol yishon v'davke hicha shepasha shehidvik bas v'tanu samach l'chashecha v'al hicha d'lo pasha midi shari l'mi avid yisur azutik hicha d'lo avid chavir yisur rabba. Right? That it's only if the guy actually violated the iser. But I'm sorry, close to nighttime. But where he wasn't poshea at all, then it would be mutter to go ahead and do it, meaning only the guy violated an isser, but if he didn't violate an isser, it would be okay. Right, or Rabbi Uchiyah came perak tamen nishchat uperak basar the irvin v'chein kasu perak kol arvin uperak kasholeich uperak kamad the basra uperak kamad the chagig uperak. Okay, b'hashda he adds it ends here im l'teirutz of the mitzvah rabba davar barur she'in l'cha mitzvah rabba mi lahatzila. He says if the heter is going to be that it's a big mitzvah, so this is a big mitzvah, right? Right, shelo yafchiduha actually they're not scared until she goes off, until she becomes a mishumad, until she becomes Christian. Be'in l'teirutz to the mechalik being pesha lo pesha, hachanami lo pesha. Right, the hilchach lechal aleha es haShabbos lepakech aleha shari umitzvah nami ika. So therefore, the Beis Yosef says no. He says a, this is a big mitzvah, and if the concern is that she's the one who sinned, in this case, she's not the one who sinned. Right, she was taken a captive. Right, she was kidnapped. Right, so therefore, she's not the one who sinned. So therefore, the Beis Yosef wants to say that doing so would be mutter. If you move on to the Shulchan Aruch itself in Hilchos Shabbos, so page four. So at the end of Simin Shin Vav, so me on the right on the top of the page. So me, the first word is me. It's the previous page. Me Shishalchu Lo Shotziu Bito Mivesu B'Shabbos. Somebody, his girl, daughter, was kidnapped on Shabbos. So Tziu Michal Yisrael Mitzvah Lasum Derech Pamav Liishdada Ba'Tzala V'Yotzi Afilu Chusos Shosh Parsos V'Lo Bay Basin Gozer Alav. Right, and if you don't do it, Basin will will get you. Right, I mean you definitely need to go ahead and do this. Meaning, and that seems to be right the psak of the Beis Yosef against the psak of right the psak of Tosos against the psak of the Rashba. Comes the Mishnah Berurah here and says, right, Orcha de Milsa Nakar. It's talking about the regular example. I don't know, it's a little odd to say the regular example of a girl getting kidnapped from her house. But it's talking about the regular example. V'udin acher rishai l'chal Shabbos k'dei l'atzila mi'isser agadol. Right? Somebody else would be able to violate Shabbos in order to save from a greater isser. B'chol zeh, Myri, the Mishnah Berurah says, show tziu al yadei inu Yehudim mi'beis ha'bonis. That somebody's forcing her out of the house by force. V'akorchach yitiru lo l'shum derech pa'amav l'atzila. So therefore you would pound the pavement in order to save her. The Kaimalani Aim Poshaya, Chayv Lasosi Surazuta, Kineshul Yasa Khaveri Surarab, right? Because you're allowed to do a low level isser in order to save her. But Impasha, but if she's the one running away with the guy, right? Ain lo lavia lachal Shabbos avarun. Then the father would not be able to do that. The normal lod lachatu kadesh yiska tevare chavercha. Because we don't say sin in order to help the friend. He says, however, daf is duraisav abis durabanan dasa eli rabbi diish lahakilav or kadei latzil. Maybe that's only by durabanan, but only by duraisav durabanan, maybe you would be able to go ahead and do so. So that is the distinction between a poshea and a not poshea. That seems to be the ending psak of the Mishnah Berurah. So now you pull that back over here to our case of chala. So Rabbi Cohen suggests, like we were saying before, so the person who's going to eat the food, whether or not there is hashkacha on it. Right, so what do we say in that case? Is that person a poshea? So right away, you said, no, that person's not a poshea. I mean, probably some people that would eat it anyways would be considered a poshea, but probably there are a lot of people that would eat it that would not be considered to be a poshea. And therefore, to save those people, that's why he suggests it would be mutter to do challah in a suboptimal way in order to have more products that are kosher, and that person would not violate the isser of eating tevel from it, right? So that, which is an interesting perspective on hashkacha. I mean, why are we looking to certify foods? So according to this, right, part of the motivation is certainly for people, the community, for them to be able to know what to do and to have restaurants to eat at and soft pretzels to sell at games, right? That's true. But there's an additional level of responsibility that there should be more kosher food out there in order to save people, to save tinuk shenishpas from violating these isurim. So that also is considered to be a value in the realm of kashrus, to the point that it suggests that we would permit doing suboptimal hafrashas challahs when necessary in order to provide that for the tzibur. Okay, so that is a possibility that it's out there. I would add as well, I mean, even if you want to go with his idea, it still doesn't reflect on the eater. Meaning, should we then warn people and say, you know, maybe you should be machmir and not eat from places that do a tevel do system because it's lo min hamukaf, etc. So certainly at that point already, it doesn't matter. Meaning once it's done, it's done. I mean, we would tell this the Amma Aretz in the Trumus U'Maaser story that be careful, realize you're only eating. Yeah, it's true. You're not violating tevel, but you're not. It's not an optimal unviolation of tevel, right? We don't say that, particularly when it comes to lo tases, right? There's no lechatchila and b'dieved when it comes to lo tases. Either you violate or you didn't violate it. So therefore, it seems like that should be that should carry the day, and therefore these are used in cases where regular challah is not doable. So like in pizza stores where there's a frum guy there the entire time, so he's mafresh chal in the regular way. But in factories or we have a pretzel place where the owner is not religious at all, right? It would just be impossible for it to work otherwise. So there we have the tevel do system in operation because otherwise it's just not going to happen otherwise. And we figure it's better for people to be able to eat these kosher pretzels than even if the guy's not going to be fulfilling the mitzvah challah in the optimal way. Yeah. So the next discussion is things that are da'asoy to separate, meaning it sounds like if you take things of dough, even if you have the shir challah, even if it's meant to be separated, it could be that there's no chiyuv on it at that point, which also maybe obviates the reasons for challah in a lot of these things. So we'll see what the applications are on that. I figured hopefully we'd be able to start it, but I think we're out of time here. I hear there's much ruckus outside my door, and Pesach is coming anyways. So and I guess we're off for a couple of weeks. So we'll start fresh from, no pun intended, from that topic. Himir Seshem, I guess the Monday after Pesach.
Probably have to make the time a little later.
What? Oh, it might have to be a little bit later due to Marv. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. What do you think? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I could share with some of you guys.
I have a question.